not being a professor like Father Tom, I like to preach walking up and down. So please bear with me. And my name is Balogun Ope. Now, if you pick up the bulletin and see the names, the first name, ignore the N, Balogun. The last name, ignore the K, Ope, as easy as A-B-T. I know you'll get used to it. It's a Balogun Ope. And I'm from Nigeria, as you know. So it's been a pleasure. This is my second year in Canada and my third parish that I'm being stationed at. So, and the welcome I have received has been overwhelming. So thank you very much for that. I deeply, deeply appreciate it. And I look forward to serving in this very wonderful parish. And today, dear friends, there is a theme that constantly played in all of the readings that we have today. But let us start with a positive note. Let us start with being thankful that we have a God who is ready to engage us in conversation. Let us be thankful that we have a God who is open to discussion, that we have a God who does not want to punish us, but wants to discuss the situation with us. Let us, in a very special way, be thankful that we have a God who, even when we accuse him, is not vengeful, but ready to defend himself. The first reading, God told Ezekiel, "Tell my people, am I the one who is unfair?" God is actually defending himself from the accusation that he is an unjust God. Let us be thankful that God is ready to engage us in that conversation. Because I'm sure some situations in life have caused us to ask God, what is going on? What is happening here? What have I done wrong? Where have I offended you? But taking it in deep context, Ezekiel was actually giving the people of God the pros and the cons of why they are to do what they are to do. So many things. I'm not going into the nitty-gritty of it all. But God said, if you leave the ways of evil and turn to righteousness, you will surely get the reward of righteousness. If you leave the way of righteousness and turn to the way of evil, you will simply get the reward of evil. As human beings, I think it is very logical, right? It is very logical. And therefore, dear friends, it tells us that what we have, what we get, is actually the fruit of our own labor. And that is how we are the people of God. Let us remember that at baptism, we made the promise. Just before baptism, every prayer, but just before baptism, we are asked to renounce evil and accept God. We are asked to renounce the other side and accept this bright side of God. And we do that. Even if we were baptized as babies, every Easter, we renew our baptismal vows. And that's how we renew our covenant with God. The people of Israel did not become the people of God with the crossing of the Red Sea. They didn't become the people of God when they were rescued from Egypt. It was in Exodus chapter 19 when God had a discussion with them. When God had a conversation with them, he did not force them to become his people. Even after all those miracles. Well, you owe me. I have rescued you from the house of slavery. Now you owe me allegiance. Not at all. God said to Moses, tell the people, these are my ways. These are my conditions. Are they prepared to accept that? And the people said, whatever the God tells us to do, we will do. And that was when the covenant with God was struck. And one thing we have to know, dear friends, something plays out in all of the readings today also. There is absolutely no coercion from God to us. There is absolutely no coercion from God. God will never force us to obey. Let us look at the gospel. The father and his two sons. He said to the first, go into the vineyard and do some work. And the son said simply, I will not go. We did not read that the father grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and pushed him into the vineyard. The father, who is God, left him to his own choice. The gift of God, the gift of choice, the gift of freedom. The father left him. But he eventually changed his mind. At first, probably for his own personal gain, he said, I will not go. But eventually changed his mind and obeyed. We will come to that word, obedience. And the second, who accepted wholeheartedly, yes, sir, I will go into the vineyard, did not go. Probably he thought he was deceiving the father. Probably he wanted seriously and sincerely to go. But as we recall, some seeds fall on rocky ground with all the goodwill to grow, but something chokes the life out of them. Which seed are we, dear friends? Which son, which daughter are we in this gospel? And it brings us to the word obedience, which Paul uses in a very special way in the second reading, this letter to the Philippians, where he delivers a very, very beautiful hymn of who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And just before he went into it, he said, let your attitude mirror that of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many things we can say about our Lord Jesus Christ, his love, his mercy, his itinerant preaching, which if that were to be what we'll emulate, definitely I cannot mirror Jesus Christ because I can only be a seasonal preacher. If I were to preach outside, once it is winter, I'll shut down my priesthood and go indoors. I'm from Nigeria. We don't do well with snow and cold. So I can only obey Jesus in being humble and also obeying the Father. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God. He emptied himself. That is the key, dear friends. If we want to get that virtue of obedience, we have to mirror the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ, emptying ourselves. Obedience is difficult. Easy to say by word of mouth, very difficult to practice. Why is that? Because obedience involves someone else. Obedience involves bending to the will of another. And because of self-preservation, we sometimes think that when we obey, we are demeaning ourselves. But that is not the case, dear friends. That is not the case, especially in our relationship with God. Jesus obeyed even unto death. But now today, what is happening? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Because of obedience. Obedience does not demean us, dear friends. Obedience rather empowers us. Because Paul obeyed and asked God, I have run the good race. I have fought the good fight. I now deserve the crown of glory. Obedience actually places God on a back foot. I say this sort of voce, under. We place God on the back foot. We place God at our disposal when we obey, because then with a clean heart we can ask for what we want. With a clean heart we can declare that we are truly the children of God. Like I said, it is difficult. And again, the uncertainty that covers obedience is really, really unnerving. Because when God says go, most times we do not know the end of the story. When God told Abraham, he called Abraham, in the book of Genesis, leave your father's house, leave everything you know, and go to a land I will show you. Abraham did not have the clear picture, but he obeyed. And today, who is Abraham? He is our father in faith because of obedience. When God says go, dear friends, we will not see the end of the story. Let us also link it down to earth. What we and our children, how we engage with our children. When we tell our children what to do, they sometimes argue. And why do they do that? Because they do not see the end picture. They do not see as much as grown-ups see. And that is why they argue. They still want to know. The same with God, dear friends. When God says go, There are so many things we will not see. But one promise that is abiding, that is eternal, is that when God says go, there will always be good at the end of that journey. Let us think of this lovely, blessed woman, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. When God told her, go and minister to the people who are abandoned, I am sure, and from what she has written, she had no clear vision of how this was going to turn out. Now think about it. Supposing she had sat on her own saying, no, I'm not going to go because I don't know what is going to come of this. How would the seed that God planted through her flourish throughout the world? So it is with each and every one of us, dear friends. What is it that God is inspiring us to do today? What is it that God is calling us to do today, dear friends? Let us not be afraid. The problem is not the uncertainty. The problem is not the fear. The problem is not the agonizing over how do I start this? How do I do this? How do I go about achieving this thing that God is inspiring me to do? The problem, dear friends, is the final decision, just as Jesus pointed out in the gospel. The first one who said, no, I will not go, but later went, is being lauded as the obedient one. But the one who said yes and did not go was the one who disobeyed. Psalm 95, if today you listen to the voice of the Lord, do not harden your hearts. May the peace of the Lord be with you.